T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
He covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. Check out his new book, 24, Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. John Shea joining us here on 95.7 The Game. John, good morning. We appreciate your time. As you know, we are compiling a fan vote of the 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. Willie Mays has come in at number 6 on the list. Many are arguing that's too high for the Say Hey Kid. What say you?
I say, come on, fellas. Really?
Well, we're not responsible for it. It's the fans. Take it up with the people, John, not with us. We're just the messengers.
I was asked to come on to discuss Willie Mays' ranking on your top 10 list in the Bay Area. I had assumed you already went through 2 through 10. And then I'm asked to discuss your number one guy, the great Willie Mays. Now I'm hearing you. Six? I mean, what country did you solicit to get these votes?
I think we went to Youngstown because all the young people who didn't have the opportunity to see Willie Mays, and I certainly didn't see him. I was born in 68, so even if I, as a zygote, had caught the tail end of his career, I still wouldn't have seen the true greatness. What do we miss, John, in not only having him ranked so low, but the greatness that was Willie Mays on the diamond?
Well, he was more of a ball player. I mean, he was a ball player, but he was an entertainer. I mean, if you look back at his record and what he did on and off the field as a baseball player, as an American, I mean, he was a peacekeeper and a uniter. I mean, he's the one who dragged Johnny Roseboro off the field in a sea of Dodger blue after Roseboro got clubbed by Marichal. I mean, he's the one who prevented that mutiny in the Giants clubhouse when so many minorities were ready to walk out on the team because of the racist ways of Alvin Dark. And, you know, he's the one that spoke with all these guys. Joe Morgan swears by Reggie Jackson, Maury Wills, Frank Robinson, McCovey, guys who came behind him. Even the great Hank Aaron, who's 3 years younger, I'll swear, for his leadership. I mean, he's the guy who was the first great African-American superstar after World War II who led the way for other black athletes. Bill Clinton told me Willie Mays made it absurd to be a racist. And he's the guy, you talked to Bob Kendrick at the Negro League Museum, said Willie Mays validated all the ball players in the Negro Leagues because of what he did, because of how he played, because of how he conducted his life, and because of how he fought racism on his terms. And now you guys put him 6th? Wow. How did that come about? I'm just curious. Why is he 6th on a list of top 10 Bay Area, not in the world, not in the U.S., Bay Area?
I just think it's a younger crowd that, you know, they think of guys like Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and Steph Curry, the three-point, all-time leading three-point shooter. He set the record 403. So it is definitely skewed. But there was something you said there, and I'd like to get more into that. When you talked about Willie and talking about what he did for, you know, men of color, and talked about how he just, you know, brought it to the forefront and he stood for equality. When you look at the Negro League, would Willie have been Willie if everyone would have been able to play and everyone was given a fair opportunity? What would that league have been? And can you still think that his record would have still been as dominant as a player if it was more equality?
Of course, he could have played in any era and excelled in any era and dominated any era, but if you include all the Negro Leaguers going back early 1900s. I mean, Mays might not have been the number one player of all time. As we saw in the ranking at The Athletic, Joe Posnanski came up with his top 100 baseball players of all time, and he had Ruth second and Mays first. I mean, there's a guy, Oscar Charleston, who they said was Mays before Mays, a wonderful center fielder back in the day. And they said, you know, he was better than Mays. And if he's better than Mays, and I spoke with Monty Irvin, who knew these guys and knew and played with them. And he says, hey, man, Mays is great, but there are some other players in the Negro Leagues who are just as good, if not better. I mean, this was Willie's teammate in New York. So, yeah, Willie would have been every bit as good as he was in this era. I spoke with Scott Boras, who said that, you know, he could have been making $50 million this, you know, if you're going to give a pitcher 35, Willie Mays in this era would have made 50. And, I mean, it just attests to his greatness. Well, let me ask you guys something. I mean, you guys are Bay Area historians. I mean, you got your pulse on the, you know, sports world, everything Bay Area sports, Bay Area culture. Where did you guys rank Mays?
I didn't put him on the list, I'll be completely honest. The main reason was that I've never seen him play a game of baseball. I think for me to come out and say, Willie Mays is great because of X, and I've never seen him play, I don't know if I want to use the word disingenuous, but I just didn't feel authentic with it. So essentially, I probably took a cop-out and created a scenario where I was only going to grade the guys I had watched throughout the course of their career. Now, if I'm going back in time and I'm just grading absolute greatness, and we talked about this in the last segment, Mays might be at the top of the list because baseball players rely less on their teammates, at least in my opinion, than anybody else out there. You know, Montana relying on Rice relying on Montana. But then it's Bonds and it's Mays and it's just you against the pitcher. And it's just you trying to swipe that bag. And it's you trying to catch that ball in the outfield. So ultimately, the case for number one is completely visible in my opinion.
Well, all due respect, I mean, there are history books and there is video. He made a catch in 1954 that was pretty good. It's in black and white, but still, it was pretty good. Game one of the World Series. He went way back at the Polo Grounds and made a catch and made a throw, and it kind of set the momentum for the World Series sweep of the mighty Indians. But, I can see your point. That's why, you know, I haven't seen Wilt Chamberlain mentioned. I haven't seen guys like that, even though it was just a few years. But I saw Deion Sanders mentioned somewhere. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. He was here 1 year, and you're taking 1 year of Deion over the greatness of Mays over the course of the career he spent in San Francisco. Who lived here, who lives here, who does all that stuff for the community. And I'm just curious how that works. Why would you pick Deion over Mays?
That's a failure on the criteria. The literal criteria was that you only needed to appear as a professional in the Bay Area at some point during your career. And once that box was checked, you could use anyone you wanted. So, for example, you could make the case for guys that were here for 1 year but went on to be absolutely great. Now, if we had said the majority of your career had to be in the Bay Area, Deion Sanders is obviously off the list, as are others, but we never said that. The only criteria was that you were here professionally at some point, and then from there, off we went running. Let me throw it back to you on something, John, because I'm curious. In terms of, you've made so many great points about Mays regarding his contributions to the game, not just on the field, but if we're talking on the field, him versus Barry Bonds, you still take Mays?
Yes, in a heartbeat. Why?
Is it close?
Because... No, I don't think Bonds has been mentioned yet, and Ricky hasn't been mentioned. I did a book with Ricky as well. I mean, I love those guys on the field. They were left fielders. Willie was the center fielder. And you have yet to mention Ricky. You have yet to mention Barry. Both 5-tool players, but Willie took it to another level. Obviously, Barry didn't throw like Willie, didn't run the bases like Willie, didn't defend like Willie. So right away, you got three out of the 5 tools in Willie's favor. But Willie did them all together. If you look at Barry's career, he was really two guys. In the 90s with the Giants and in the Pittsburgh, I mean, he did it all, right? He did the 5 tools. But then in the 2000s was a hitter, period. He didn't run the bases. He didn't make the diving plays. He didn't defend like he did in the 90s. So Willie, throughout his career, did all of that stuff. I mean, when he was 40 in 1971, he led the league in on-base percentage and walks and 16 home runs. I mean, Bonds did all of that and a lot more, obviously. But when you look at the consistency, like every single year, he won two MVPs, but I spoke with a bunch of analytic experts in the game and came away from those conversations thinking he could have won anywhere between 8 and 11. Because every single year it was like Trout, it was like LeBron, it was Kobe. Every single year was 40 homers, 100 RBIs, you know, 20, 30 steals, and across the board defensive metrics. So really did it across the board. Plus, he had maybe the best sixth tool of all time because he outsmarted you, and he anticipated and envisioned and led. He was the first African-American captain in the history of the game. And he, according to all the teammates I interviewed, was the manager. I mean, he directed people where to go. He told the manager who to play. He told the pitcher how to face catch. So he did so much more than what you see on the field.
When you were writing the book 24, Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid with Willie Mays, how much time did you spend with Willie, and what was maybe the most fascinating interview outside of Willie that you did for the book?
Well, Willie and I did the math, and we figured we spent more than 100 hours together on the project. But I interviewed more than 200 people, including Bill Clinton and George Bush, who were big-time Willie Mays fans as kids. I mean, he was their guy, both growing up in the South and both becoming presidents. And, you know, the first ball player they ever loved was Mays, and they had great stories about it. But Hank Aaron was unbelievable, and Monty Irvin. And going back to Birmingham and spending time with his childhood buddies, and a guy named Bill Greeson, just a fascinating character. He was a rookie with Willie on the 1948 Birmingham Black Barons and is an American hero three times over because he fought in Iwo Jima. He was the Cardinals' very first African-American pitcher, and he's been a pastor, giving sermons every Sunday. He's in his 90s and still does it. So he's been saving lives and inspiring people his entire life. And, you know, more should be known about that guy. He's heavily included in the book. But folks like that really made this project amazing. Of course, all the time and access Willie gave me was unparalleled.
John, final question for you, and it relates to the present-day Giants. How do you think the organization handles prospect Joey Bart this season?
Well, we'd all like to see him play, everybody in the press box, everybody in the media, all the fans, because maybe the Giants are not going anywhere, but they say he needs seasoning. He's, what, 87 plate appearances in Double-A and none in Triple-A. And so you can make an argument that catchers need more. I talked to Evan Longoria the other day, and he was in the majors 2 years after he was drafted, and this is the second year, 2 years beyond the draft of 18 that Bart was in. But, you know, one's a third base and one's a catcher. And you can argue that the catcher needs more seasoning just because he needs to frame more, he needs to learn the pitchers more, and all that stuff. But I think he's one of the best hitters in camp right now. He could alternate with whomever catches and DH or maybe even play some first. But they have that service time where they don't really want to start the clock. And they can't say that publicly because you know, it's against the CBA to suggest that you're intentionally slowing down a guy's clock. So you get an extra year of free agency and everything. But, yeah, I mean, Bart probably deserves a spot. But a lot of forces against him. He got injured a couple times in the minors, and now the setback we're facing in the world today, you know, prevented him from, you know, probably being in the majors by now. I mean, if you look at Posey, it was May of 2010, exactly 2 years after his draft, and that would mean that in a real world, in a normal world, Posey or Bart could have been playing right now, but you know, we're in wacky times, so we might not see him for a while.
Check out the book 24, Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. He covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. John Shea, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. John, we appreciate the time and the insights. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Hey, can't wait to see who finished ahead of the great Willie Mays. Looking forward to this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.